Hey guys, listen up. If your idea of skincare is rinsing your face with whatever's left from your shampoo, it really is time to upgrade. I want to tell you about the new men's line from Arrow Acres. It's made for guys who want real results without all the extra ingredients. Their products are clean, simple, and incredibly effective. From tallow balm that actually heals dry skin to hand-poured soaps that leave you smelling fresh and not floral. If you need a bug spray that works and doesn't leave you smelling like chemicals as well, they've got that. They've got lip balm and scrubs that are simple, no nonsense, and they're made with real ingredients that your skin actually wants. So if you're chopping wood, hitting the gym, or if you just want to stop stealing your wife's moisturizer and not telling anybody about it, well then they have your back. You can check out their full men's line by following the link in the show notes or on Instagram at Arrow Acres Homestead. Welcome to the Shepherd's Crook Podcast. This ministry exists to provide coaching, resources, and events for pastors and church members. My name is Jared Sparks. Join me as I talk pastoral ministry, applied theology like manhood and womanhood, political theology, and cultural analysis with a little bit of hunting and fishing thrown in. I'm a husband, a father, and a pastor, and I'm here to remind you of the chief pastor and our King, Jesus. Hello, and welcome back. Today we're going to be talking about, not the London Methodist Confession, we're going to talk about contentment, we're going to talk about ambition, we're going to talk about power and responsibility and how all those things are related and how they can be put against each other, but really what we need is a way to pursue power. And that's something I've been talking about and referencing in the, I don't know, probably 15 episodes ago, talking about even doing a series on how to pursue power in a godly way. Really, we're just talking about ambition, responsibility, contentment, all of those things and how they're related and interrelated and not really at odds with each other. But often you can put those things at odds with each other. Like, how do you be content but simultaneously be greatly ambitious? Or is ambition always something that's ungodly? So what's the difference between just vain ambition and godly ambition? So let's pray and then we'll kind of untie some of those knots. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this time. Ask for blessing upon it. I pray for clarity, and Lord, for those that are listening in, God, we need some godly ambition. We pray that we would know the difference between what is vain and self-promotion and what that is compared to what true godly ambition is. And there's so many people that are masking vain glory for a true and godly ambition. And so help us to know the difference, just even down at the heart level. And I think it's kind of always going to be mixed a little bit, but just lead us now and help us to navigate that in a way that honors you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. So let's talk about the apparent contradiction. If you are content, Philippians, let's look at chapter 4 and hear what Paul has to say. Now I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. In every circumstance, I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger and abundance and need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So the idea of contentment is, no matter what situation you're in, there is a secret of living life where you're able to be content with the situation that you're in. Now, the idea of that is kind of at odds, it seems like, with the idea of godly ambition. Where do we get this idea of ambition or drive or motivation? You see it all through the scriptures, and Paul himself has modeled this, where Paul is kind of like Rudy from the movie Rudy, where he just doesn't give up. He makes it his ambition to preach the gospel where Christ has not been named. He can't be stopped when it comes to persecutions or sufferings or shipwrecks. There's nothing that's going to stop him. So even the being brought low and his contentment in that somehow isn't at odds with, okay, now I'm going to continue to prove, you know, to do whatever it takes to get the gospel of Jesus where Christ has not been named. It's not that contentment paralyzed him or somehow led to a lackadaisical approach to life. Somehow that contentment was existing simultaneously with that passion, that drive, that ambition, that pursuit of power and glory in the right sort of way. Well, let me explain here, because Paul says this in 1 Timothy. He says, 1 Timothy chapter 3, let me turn back here. This is a trustworthy saying. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, I've talked a lot about this, done a whole series going through each of those pieces of qualifications when it comes to being an elder. But that first piece of aspiration, this strong desire, this drive, this motivation to be an elder should be there. It has to do with exerting energy. It's a striving, stretching out, it's yearning for. This idea of yearning for something that you don't have. Is the man that desires to be an elder, is he simultaneously content or is he not content? And the answer is a little bit of both, because God has placed something in that man that he's fighting for, that he's striving for, that he's desiring, that he's yearning for. I want to be an elder. That's what I want. I want to have the responsibility. I want to step into that holy calling where I'm going to be judged with greater strictness. I really want that. I desire that. And if you think that, that's like in the ecclesiastical realm. But if you think about that when it comes to just a man's life and his drive to work and provide, he's going to have to yearn if he aspires towards marriage, and which is, it's not good for a man to be alone. So if a man is going to see a woman, he's going to have great ambition. In the same way he has this desire to be an elder, there's going to be this overwhelming force that's upon him when he sees a woman that catches his attention, it catches his eye, and he's attracted to her. He's going to yearn for her. He's going to long for her, and he's going to have this yearning and this longing that's going to drive him to do something crazy, to go up and say, hey, I need to either talk to your father, I want to pursue you, I want to marry you, I want to take responsibility and find a way to provide for you and protect you, and I want a man to be able to look at me, your father to be able to look at me and say, you know what, I'm going to trust you and hand my daughter over to you for you to protect her, for you to provide for her. So that ambition moves to motivation. So as a single man who burns with passion, is he content? Well, there's a sense in which he's content in the hand that God has given them in that particular moment, but he also has this simultaneously longing for what God has for him. There is this desire, there's this yearning there. So these things aren't necessarily at odds. They can simultaneously exist within a man where you're both content, but you're also ambitious. It's not one or the other. And I think what people have taken over the years, and my generation took for when it comes to just being content in life, is that ambition is always bad. You know, Dave Harvey actually wrote a really good book about recovering ambition or something to that effect, where he talks about godly ambition and the need for that for men who are looking at something and they have placed upon them in their mind, their desire, their giftings, their skills, their aptitudes, a desire to do great things and the ability to do those things through the strength that God has given them, of course, and providing along the way, but they go for it and nothing stops them. And there's always been those men in your life, those friends of yours that you look back and they just make things happen. They get things done. They don't take no for an answer. What is that? Well, that's not a man who necessarily is dealing with a sinful discontentment, but his contentment in what God has given him, it is stopping him or paralyzing him from pursuing something that's greater, pursuing something in the area of responsibility because he cares for, longs for the people that's in his life. I had a friend of mine in college that, you know, loved his friends. He was in like 10 different weddings and probably more than that as one of the best men or one of the groomsmen in the wedding, because he was just such a good friend to people. And he was this guy that could take an idea and put wheels to it. He would move from the idea to action. And if you had an idea like, hey, we should do this, he'd be the guy that would get it done. He would be, it was like the dad of the group. He had this initiative to just go get stuff done. It's like amazing. Like, man, you just took care of all of that. All the details, all the structure, all the organization of it. You just got it all done and taken care of. And we get to reap the benefits of all this. You just got stuff done. And in your life, you know people like that. There are pastors like that. There are people in your church like that. There are friends of yours like that, where they move from idea to action and they don't take no for an answer. Is that man discontent? Well, not necessarily. Is that man ambitious in a wrong sort of way? Well, not necessarily. These things can go together. Again, Paul is a great template of this because he calls other men to aspire to great things, aspire to great callings, and simultaneously calls them to be content in less or more. And what did he model? Not only did he model that in words, but he modeled that in action. So he actually modeled contentment in sufferings and persecution and this drive, this motivation that I'm not going to quit no matter what. There's nothing you can do to stop me from the mission that God has placed upon me. He modeled that really well. Now, we see that when it comes to a man pursuing marriage, we see that with a man that's pursuing work, he has to be content and driven, and these things aren't fighting or warring against each other. You also see that at a civic area or civic realm as well. If you're going to be in the area of responsibility when it comes to just public life, well, then you're going to have to pursue that. It's going to have to be something that's imposed upon you, recognizing that those that are magistrates are servants of God. And if you want to be a servant of God in that way, like a deacon is for the church, but you're just coming alongside, you're going to do that for the state. And I'm going to represent, be a representative, or I'm going to pursue politics. That's going to require a lot of drive, a lot of ambition. And that can either be done for selfish reasons or sinful reasons. And we see that all around us by people that are elected to positions and then make themselves rich and turn on the people that they're supposed to represent and mock them and ridicule them and hate them. Or you can be the kind of one that takes responsibility for the good of others. We've talked about leadership principles over the years as well, where a good leader recognizes that he's in that position of power and authority for the sake of the people that's underneath him, and not to pull from them. He's not in that position, and the people aren't underneath him for the sake of him, to make him great or make him glorious, kind of thing. So this contentment and ambition has to go together, where no matter where you're at in life, you are content in the sense that I'm going to trust God in the place that he has me in this particular moment, but I'm also going to strive for more when it comes to what God may be calling me to. So what is that more? How do you pursue power or authority? And I just want to put these two words together to kind of clarify what I mean when I'm talking about power. When I'm talking about power, I'm talking about responsibility. I'm talking about what, not the results that power produces, but I'm just talking about position and authority that comes with position. And how do you get position and authority that comes with that position? And it always comes with responsibility, godly ambition with whatever you're doing in that particular moment. And that's where contentment comes in as well. How do you get more of that? How does a man pursue more of that? And what is that? And I think every single man is given the task of pursuing power in this world to the degree in which God would give it. Every man is required by God to pursue power in this world to the degree in which God would give it. And then every man is also obligated to be content with whatever God has put in his hand. Doesn't mean that your drive goes away. It doesn't mean I'm done, that's it. Because your drive and ambition, even in the places that you're content, is required to do that particular thing well. But every man, God calls to certain things in life that are going to require him to be responsible. He lays upon them the burden of responsibility. On men as a whole, every single man as a whole in society has a role to play when it comes to public life, has a role to play when it comes to the church, but even just basically in membership, and then has a role to play in this world when it comes to work and how you're going to provide for a family. And every man has a responsibility to his family, to his kin, the people that he loves, the people that God has placed him in their families, a parents, obligation to parents, obligation to his wife, obligation to children, and to grandchildren as well. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Parents are obligated, Paul tells the church in Corinth, to save for their children, not children for their parents. So this kind of thing is a burden that's placed by God upon every single man. If you're going to live in this world, then you're going to have to pursue responsibility, and with responsibility comes power. For you today, what does it look like to pursue power practically? Well, pursuing power means being responsible with whatever is in your hand right now. What's in your hand right now? What's in your life right now that God has given you to steward? You have your family, you have your church, and you have your responsibilities in your work in the world. Do that with all your might. Be content with your post right now, what it is, but within your responsibilities right now, pursue greater and greater levels of responsibility. And then in time, you're going to be able to give some of those responsibilities away, or those responsibilities will be taken off of your plate and put onto somebody else. But whatever it is that you're doing, take on more. Now, when you take on more, make sure that it's in the right direction of more authority, more power, more responsibility that God would give you, so you can look around and say, how can I use this? How can I wield this for the good of people? We need men all across this country, good men, to be asking the question, what can I do? And what can I run towards? In the same way Paul expects there's going to be people, young men in the local church, that have this strong yearning and desire and wish that God would call them into pastoral ministry, and they just long for it. And if you don't long for it, you're not called to it. That aspiration has to be there. If you don't have that godly aspiration to take responsibility in the local church, then don't pursue that role as a pastor. But these other areas of life, God has just simply laid upon you that you're going to have ambition if you're going to be a good man in this world. If you're going to be a man that honors the Lord, then you're going to have to pursue it. So we need the responsibility and the permission. We need the permission to say, hey, I need to pursue power. And I'm going to pursue power by way of responsibility. If you're a young man listening in, what is it that you can run toward, not run away from, when it comes to being a responsible young man? What kind of work can you take on? Just look around, look at the guys in your church who are the men that you can look at and say, I want to learn from them, and I'm going to let them give me some sort of thing that I can be responsible over, and then do that thing well. Find ways to be a responsible man. If you're that kind of boy, you're going to grow into a man that older men look to and respect because you've been doing work and working hard already with the things God has given you. And then when you pursue a woman, you need to pursue a woman with all your might. You don't need to let your contentment in singleness ruin when you see that pretty lady walk by, pretty girl at your church. You don't need to let that contentment squash that ambition to drive through the fear and say, I'm going to go talk to her father, and I'm going to ask him if I can pursue his daughter, to pursue the possibility of marrying her. You've got to have that drive. You've got to have that desire, that aspiration. And then in the world, when it comes to work, if you're going to do well in life, then you've got to just pursue good work, and then pursue when you're in it through that contentment that you have with God giving you that work. Pursue it with all your might. We need men who pursue power. The world is full of ambitious men who don't do what they do for the glory of God or the good of others. It's about themselves and about their kingdoms and what they can do. So what we need is Christian men in every single local church and all around the world, young Christian men who are pursuing with godly ambition the things that are going to be good to glorify God and for the good of others. Okay, just a few thoughts. Hope that's well. Contentment doesn't get away from ambition. The pursuit of power means the pursuit of responsibility. And as you are responsible in certain areas, God, he who is faithful in little will be faithful with much. God will give more. And this is what we need from Christians all around the world. All right. Hope you guys have a great rest of your day. Thanks so much for listening. And I'll be back soon. I think Thursday, I'll be trying to get another episode out. Okay. Hope you guys have a good rest of your week.